The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Beginning of the month, we started a series, Love Costs Everything, and I want to encourage you to go on Google, on your electric device, your laptop, whatever it is you use, and find this movie. Love Costs Everything is actually a documentary, a movie, and find time to watch it as a community group, as a husband and wife, as a group of friends. Watch it. You need to see what's going on around the world. Over the last month, we've kind of pointed out some of the aspects that are told about in this movie, talked about, and we went back to the scriptures looking at how the church on earth has been put here for one reason, to glorify God and to point others to God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. And we're going to kick off a new series starting next week on the book, based on the book, Forgotten God. Our community groups, small groups are going to be doing a study through that book, Forgotten God. And Sunday mornings, we're going to be doing a series based on the Holy Spirit and who He is and the power and presence that we need in our lives to be the ambassadors that Christ has called us to be. With that being said, we also need to know that the church is much more than what you see, of course, sitting in this room, much more than what we see in Western civilization. The church actually is worldwide, and in most of the places in the world, people are literally risking their life to worship our God and Father. And around the world, there are people literally put in prison that are beaten, that are persecuted because of their faith. This is not a new thing, and it's not an old thing. It's a thing that Christ promised from the beginning of time. Christ Himself said, if I, your master, have had to suffer, then you also, if you want to follow me, will have to suffer. Paul wrote in the book of Philippians, and then also in, I don't think you can find a writing of Paul where he does not reference this idea of suffering. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, Paul has just, he's one of the first churches Paul ever planted was in this area called Philippi. And he planted this church, and later, as he's moving around throughout Asia Minor and Europe and planting other churches, he often finds himself put in prison for declaring the gospel. And while in prison, he's writing this letter to the Philippians, and he's wanting to encourage them by saying, because of what I'm willing to do for the gospel, I encourage you to also participate with me in my suffering. He had just gone on talking about how his whole life before Christ was, he was of the elite. He was the Jew of Jews. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a Roman citizen and learned. He had everything, but he said, none of that was worth anything. It was worth rubbish, he says, compared to knowing Christ as my Savior. He says it like this in Philippians 3, verse 7. It says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and following. I consider it loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of the knowledge of Christ Jesus as my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness on my own that comes from the law, my ability to heap up good works and follow the rules and rituals. Christ did not save me based on what I am able to do, but instead, he says, not a righteousness of my own that comes through the law, but instead, that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Now catch this, verse 10 says this, Philippians 3, verse 10. Paul goes on and he says, I want to know Christ. How many of you want to know Christ? I think most people in this room would say, yes, I want to know Christ. I want to know His love. I want His blessing in my life. I want all the powerful good things that come from God and knowing Christ. I want to know that. But that Paul doesn't end there. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection But then he goes on, he says, and the fellowship of the sharing in his sufferings. How many of you want to suffer? Yeah, not too many hands. But Paul is sitting here saying that Christ was willing to give everything for us. And he has called us to walk that same journey with him, being willing to follow in him and sharing in the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. The path to Christ is not necessarily all roses and, you know, smooth sailing. Many times in many parts of the world, following Christ literally will cause you to be rejected and cast out of your home, out of your village, out of your everything you've ever known, and in some cases put in prison or even killed for your faith. In 2 Timothy, Paul was encouraging a child he was mentoring from a young age. He brought him on missionary journeys with him, and he's pouring into him, seeing Paul's talking to Timothy, saying, you're young, but God has called you. He has appointed you. Do not get discouraged from the suffering that will come. And he goes on and he says to Timothy, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, he says, so do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord. Don't be ashamed to go out, no matter who's against you, go out and proclaim the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do not be ashamed, but join with me in suffering for the gospel. By the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed. I was appointed as a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That is why I'm suffering. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have been entrusted with for him on that day. The encouragement that I want us to hear as a Western church who has a freedom to worship in a school like this, who has the freedom to have assemblies and gatherings in our home, to pray over loved ones, to declare the gospel in different settings and surroundings. Yeah, our freedoms that we celebrate as Christians, a lot of people question how long they'll be in place with our ever-changing culture in our society. But the truth is that we have no clue what it really means to be persecuted. I want to invite Dariel up and Pastor Kendry and whoever it is you want to bring up. I want us to hear from them and be encouraged. Our brothers here, brothers in Christ from Cuba, Pastor Kendry is pastoring a church there, and we feel led to partner with them and to see how God is going to use us to help bring them encouragement, as we are really, truly more encouraged by what it is that they're going through as they live out their faith. And I encourage you to listen and for us to just continue to ask God, show us what it is you want us to do for the persecuted church, what it is that you want us to do, and how we can pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who suffer around the world. So, Dariel?
Yeah.
Take it away.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Hope Hill. Good morning. We are so excited and blessed to be here again. And I have, I'm trying to not get emotional. I've been praying a lot for this. So I want to introduce you to my friends. This is Joseph Mitchell. He's from Mississippi, not from Cuba, as you can see. He said, I'm puro cubano. Puro cubano. Okay, más o menos. If you were here a couple of Sundays ago when I had the opportunity to share God's word, and I mentioned a friend from Mississippi, he's the guy. Okay? He's the guy that one of the angels that God has put in our lives in moments of desperate need, crisis. He was always there. So it's like a father. If I call him grandpa, I'll be in trouble. So I love him so much.
I come here to get abuse.
Okay. Yeah, you got cancer. If you want to see it, you can go. Okay. And this is Leslie. I worked for his father and with his father for many years in the Bible seminary in Cuba. He's now an associate pastor in his father's team in Havana's church. And they're actually running a wonderful ministry with children and older people. He will tell us about it. And this is Kendry. When my family came to the U.S., I had to stay for another year in Cuba. And he's the guy that told me, don't pay a rent. Come home. We'll work it out. So his family was my family for a year. I lived with them. They slept on the floor many times so that I could have a bed. They fed me. And we shared our burdens. I mean, his suffering was my suffering was his suffering, his family's suffering. So, you know, why he missed me. And at the same time, they are doing such a fabulous and fantastic work in his area. He's the district leader for the church in two provinces in Cuba. They have a Bible seminary in his home. They bought an old building through partnering with a church from Canada, right? They bought an old building that used to be a Coca-Cola distribution center in Cuba back in the 50s, and it's crumbled down. They want to build a Bible seminary there. But they have no permits to do that or authorizations. It's just, you know, we'll do it because we have to. And they have a church in their home. How many people? Yeah, they can sit about 70 people in his living room, but they have about 300 people. So I want to ask him a couple of questions. I'm going to start with Leslie, if you don't mind. Okay. Leslie, what is it that you are doing right now in the church in Havana?
En español. Yes. Ahora mismo yo soy parte de un grupo que... con el cual estamos trabajando en la sociedad con la visión de transformarla para Cristo.
Okay, right now we are working with a group of people. We are trying to transform our community around us to work in their lives so that they can come to Christ and bring them closer to Christ.
Dios nos dio la oportunidad de estar en un lugar que tiene la mayor concentración de ancianos que están... O sea, se sienten fuera de la sociedad.
Okay, we are in a place, God has given us the opportunity to be in a place, we have so many older, so much older people around our place, our church buildings and facilities, and we can work with them, and we can actually provide for them. Okay, ask me what I...
Para tratar de rescatarlos e integrarlos una vez más a la sociedad, estamos proveyendo comida diaria y talleres donde ellos puedan crear y aportar algo a la sociedad.
Okay. In order for us to rescue them and bring them back to society, actually, we are providing meals and workshops for them to feel like they are part of the society. They are not left alone.
También vivimos en un lugar donde hay muchos problemas, hay muchas familias disfuncionales y los niños prácticamente se crían en la calle.
So we live in a place, actually they live about 3 blocks from the capital in Cuba, which is an exact accurate replica of the one here in Washington, D.C. It's downtown Havana. And they are surrounded by families, so many dysfunctional families. And the children there, they just grow up without parents. I mean, running around the streets, doing whatever they can.
Yo creo que sería bueno que aclararas el tema de...
Okay. Entonces, ¿qué hace con los niños?
Con los niños les brindamos todo tipo de educación e información, alimentos, y tratamos de que ellos se sientan parte de la iglesia, haciendo muchas veces actividades para que los ancianos se sientan especiales. Y comida, sí.
Okay. So with the children, we try to offer them opportunities, information. We try to educate them. And actually, we try to make them feel like part of our community. And they can help the older people too. And we provide food for those children. Now, this is really important. This should not go public. I mean, we can take pictures, everything. But if we mention an internet, wherever, Facebook, even Gmail, whatever, about something like this happening in Cuba, they will be in trouble. So please, if you want to mention that we have a couple of Cuban pastors in church and all that, it would be great. But if we make public what they are doing, they will be in trouble. Actually, we just had a friend who had to run away from Cuba because they were able to get into his Gmail account. It's all the emails and what he was doing, I mean, proclaiming the gospel and all that, and he had to run away. He's living now in Washington State. Okay? Thank you, Leslie.
Dile que en lo personal nosotros no tenemos miedo de que estas cosas se publiquen, pero que sí queremos el cuidado de la iglesia.
He says that they personally don't really care too much about these things being going public, but they just feel, I mean, they want to make sure that the church is safe. It's not about their personal lives, but the church. The community knows that they do this, but they have to do it like that. You know, it's like an underground thing. Okay? So, Kendry, what is it that you're doing in Matanzas?
Comenzamos un trabajo en el año 2007 con solamente 12 personas y al año siguiente traímos un equipo misionero, nos distribuimos la ciudad de Matanzas y plantamos diferentes iglesias en diferentes lugares.
Okay, in 2007 we started our church with 12 people.
Yeah.
And then next year we were able to assemble, put together a missionary team, local missionary team, and how many people do you have now?
360 personas.
About 360 people right now in the church. Tiene un seminario bíblico.
Nos dimos cuenta que los misioneros que teníamos estaban carentes de capacitación y pensamos en darles preparación a través de la existencia de un seminario en nuestra iglesia.
So we realized that our local missionaries needed some training, so we started in our own place a Bible seminary to train. That's the seminary, actually. Mm-hmm. That professor is from Canada. That's his house, his living room.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I used to sleep too.
Es todo. No importa.
That's everything. Okay. And one more thing, they don't have a permission to do that.
No.
I mean, that professor went to Cuba as a tourist just to teach at the Bible seminary. Mm-hmm. Okay.
No tenemos permiso para eso, no tenemos permiso para ser iglesia, no tenemos permiso para construir.
They don't have permission to be a church. They don't have permission to build, to restore the building. They don't have permission for anything. But they just face the consequences.
Pero Dios nos ha abierto puertas.
Oh, God has opened doors for us.
Hoy Cuba tal vez es un poco diferente en relación al tema de la persecución.
Maybe Cuba is a little bit different nowadays than what it used to be some years ago.
Yo no creo que sea un tema de cambio en el gobierno.
And we don't really think it's a matter that it's a kind of thing that the government is changing.
Yo creo que es un asunto de victoria de Dios.
I think it's God's victory for the church in Cuba.
No tenemos lucha contra hombres ni nos defienden los hombres.
Yeah, our fight is not against men, and we are not defended by men.
La gente se está capacitando en el seminario.
Yeah, so you can see our missionaries are being trained at the seminary.
Están saliendo y abriendo nuevas iglesias.
They are going out and planting new churches.
Y Dios está dando el permiso.
And God is allowing that to happen and giving, providing the permission for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Algo más que quieras decir.
No, no.
How can we pray for you guys? How can we pray for the church in Cuba?
Porque Dios continúe el avivamiento que está teniendo allí.
For God to allow the revival we are enjoying in Cuba right now to extend it so that we can enjoy more revival and the church to expand.
Que dé mucha sabiduría a los líderes de las iglesias.
And for God to give wisdom to the church leaders and keep them humble. How can we partner with you? How can we help you?
Bueno, la iglesia en Cuba está preparada para hacer misión.
Okay, the church in Cuba is prepared, it's been trained to do missions. Are you from Cuba?
Okay. Lo más difícil para la iglesia siempre ha sido el término económico.
Yeah, well, the hardest thing always in Cuba has been the financial aspect of the church.
Es inevitable que la iglesia necesite economía.
It is inevitable that the church needs finances.
Hasta el día de hoy, Dios ha permitido que por fe logremos todas estas cosas.
So far, God has allowed us, by faith, to do everything we are doing.
Él ha movido el corazón de mucha gente a que en determinado momento nos ayude.
He has touched the heart of so many people to come and bless us like that guy over there.
Compramos una finca, la tenemos trabajando para poder alimentar a los seminaristas.
We bought a farm so that we can provide food for the seminary students because it's so hard to get food and it's so expensive.
Hacemos pequeños negocios, los misioneros trabajan algún tiempo de su semana.
We try to run like smaller businesses and missionaries, they go to church, they do they're supposed to do as missionaries during the weekend mainly, but in the during the week they are probably working to try to make some money.
Pero tenemos muchos ministerios y sueños que para lograrse necesitan de esa economía.
But we have so many dreams and ministry in mind that we really need financial help to
Nos gustaría también entrenamiento en esas cuestiones.
And we would like training in that area as well. Yes. That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything you want to add?
Check. Go ahead, Margaret.
Okay, I just wanted to briefly say we want to.
That's me.
Come alongside Kendry and Leslie and support them throughout the next year with our Love Cost Everything Persecuted Church campaign. And I just want to say that if you feel led to give, you can make the check out to Hope Hill Church and put Persecuted Church in the memo. And then I know that we want to buy supplies for the seminary students there so that Kendry can take it back. And Leslie just got married, so maybe a few things for his home. So if you feel led to give today, just make it out to Hope Hill and just put Persecuted Church. You can give, thank you, Nathan. You can give online. There's a memo line there, or you can do it here on Sunday morning. So thank you.
Our goal for this year, and we will keep this persecuted theme, persecuted church theme going all year round. Our goal for this year is to raise $5,000 to send half to Pakistan and half to Cuba to support the ongoing work. And of course, as there's so much more that could be given, that's our personal goal as a organized church. But if you feel led to give over and above that and bless in any other way, shape, or form, go as God leads and do that. If you want to give through us, do as Margaret suggested, online or through a check, and we'll make sure it gets handled correctly. So thank you all for sharing. One major thing that we're definitely going to pray for before you guys have a seat is we want us to also just pray for Cuba as a nation. That, I mean, God has the power and the ability to change nations, to change the hearts of kings. And we want to pray for your leaders as well. And
can we just add one more thing? I mean, yes. We have so many brothers and sisters right now that we know from Venezuela, and they're going through so much suffering, such a hard time. If we could lift them up as well. I mean, we see their messages on Facebook. They are desperate. So keep them in mind too, please.
Yeah, let's pray. Anybody wants to come up and lay a hand on them? Will you guys step forward so that if those want to come up? And if you want to come up and lay a hand on our brothers, join us as we pray. Father God, we stand before you humbly, knowing that you are our King. God, we are here to fulfill your mission. And there are so many people around this world who do not yet know your love. And God, we ask that you give us the courage, the boldness, the wisdom, the strength that comes from the power and presence of your Holy Spirit in our lives to be your witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, God, that all will come to know who you are. We pray for kings and governments and nations, God, to yield to your leading. We pray for our own nation, God, that we would see who you truly are and that we would come to know you in the fullness of your love and follow you as we should. God, thank you for the work that's happening in their lives through their ministry, and we pray for their protection. We pray for their families. We pray for their churches. God, we pray that you would be there surrounding them with guardian angels, God, with the hedge of thorns protecting them, God. We pray for this in the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray that the enemy is held back from this situation, and we pray against the powers of darkness. God, we pray that your work be done, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bless these, our brothers, and those they represent. And thank you for letting our eyes be open and your invitation for us to join you in the work that you're doing. In your name we pray. Amen.